It's time for the show that scours the globe for news that interests you. We've scoured a few other planets, too. Didn't find much. Coming to you almost live from their command center just beneath the Earth's crust, here's Jeremy Bray and Wesley Faulkner with Global Geek News.
Welcome to the Global Geek News Podcast, the show that tries to answer the question, just what the heck is going on in the media, entertainment, and technology worlds. As always, I am your host, Jeremy Bray, better known to most of you on the internet as PCNerd37, and on the other end of Skype is my co-host, Wesley Faulkner. How's it going, Wesley?
Things are going great. Awesome week so far.
Yeah, I would agree with that. New version of Ubuntu has come out. Yeah, it's been a good week.
Yeah, no, Windows Phone 7 or Windows 7 Phone or Phone Windows 7 is out today.
Yeah, I gotta say, I woke up not realizing what the date was that they were gonna announce it, that and everything today, and just the entire day, it was, my RSS reader was taken up by almost nothing but Windows Phone 7 stuff. I mean, it's worse than the day that there's a Steve note.
Yeah. All ablaze, and Twitter was filled with streams of bite-sized snippets of what was going on also.
Yeah, I didn't pay too much attention to what was going on Twitter, mainly just my RSS reader, which I just realized I've been logged out of, but I tend to subscribe to a lot of, like, gadget stuff, like Engadget and everything, plus sites like Ars Technica and Gizmodo and everything has just gone crazy with Windows Phone 7 stuff. Pretty much my entire Google Reader was Windows Phone 7 stuff. It's like, okay, how many different times do I need to read about the same 10 different phones?
Yeah, it just means they did a really good job on their PR.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing when you can actually beat Apple when it comes to PR for a phone.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's really big push, especially since it was only last week that they confirmed that it would be an actual launch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm kind of surprised. I'm definitely impressed with what I've seen of it so far, and I'm supposed to be going to a Windows Phone 7 Unleashed developer event in Colorado Springs on Tuesday, so tomorrow, and Saturday, just to kind of see what the whole Windows Phone thing is about from a developer's perspective and see what kind of stuff I can play with on it. So that should be fun, but I think the platform definitely has a lot of promise.
It's a good 1.0 from what I've seen.
Yeah, we've definitely got a couple of Windows Phone 7 stories later on in the show. Maybe not the best stories, or at least as far as having the Windows Phone 7 in a flattering light, but there's definitely more to be said later on in the show. Although I do recommend for anybody who's interested to check out all the devices that were announced today. Pretty much all your gadget sites will have a whole list of them. But I think there were like 10 devices announced today from like Dell, HTC, Samsung. I think there was an LG in there. All these, of course, being for AT&T and T-Mobile, since anything for Verizon and Sprint and stuff won't be announced until next year. Although I did notice that one of the big stories of the day, which is old news, is the fact that there's no copy and paste on Windows Phone 7, at least not until early next year. It's like all of a sudden this is getting all kinds of play in the blogosphere. And this is one of the things that I reported on back in Mix back in, what was it, February or March. It's like there's no copy and paste for the initial version. There's no in-app purchases for the initial version. It's like all this stuff I've covered before, and it's like the whole blogosphere is acting like this is news now. It's like, hello, this is old, like, 6 months ago?
Yeah. Yeah. People have short memories or don't pay attention, one of the two.
Yeah, I think everybody just wants to get more hits, I think is what the problem is.
Yeah.
But
well, you got to be angry at something.
Yeah. Yeah, posts like that tend to drive some traffic. Mm-hmm. But speaking of posts that drive traffic, point everybody to globalgeeknews.com, where, of course, you'll find the show notes for this show and all of our other shows, as well as some of the other posts that I've posted in the past week, such as post today, Apple has a trademark on the There's an App for That slogan. One that I posted over the weekend for how to... It's a commercial for Asus on how to pronounce the name. It's absolutely hilarious. You got to check that one out. And, of course, there's a post for Google killing their Goog 411 directory assistance service. Tips of the week number 11, which has all kinds of wonderful tips for anything from building a solar-powered portable Wi-Fi hotspot to 85 Windows 7 tips, tricks, and secrets, 5 best IM clients for Android, 5 essential WordPress plugins for small businesses, how to turn your MacBook into a tablet for $50, how to turn an NES into a DVD player, which that's just blasphemy. I don't know why anybody would want to do that, but that's in there. And there's all kinds of other stuff for audio books, iPhone stuff, you name it, it's in there. Make sure to check that out. And there's also one other post, which I found rather interesting last week, was that apparently the Kinect and the Move both need large rooms to work. Apparently, there's somebody leaked some information from a Microsoft Xbox Kinect accessory user manual that says you basically need 6 to 8 foot of clear space to use it.
So yeah, people in California and New York need not apply.
Yeah, this basically eliminates pretty much anybody in an apartment or that has their gaming set up like in their bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
From what I've seen, the Move doesn't seem to be that picky about it, although developers say that when they built the games, they imagined that people would be, or it works best when people are standing approximately 8 feet away from the system. With the Kinect, it's... Or, with the Move, you don't have to have the whole room free, because you've got the remotes or whatever. With the Move, you have to have free space, so you have to like move coffee tables and stuff out of the way. And with that, it's like 6 feet for single player, 8 feet away for multiplayer. So, basically, if you have a small house, don't plan on bringing any friends over. Which, kind of, that's like the whole point of like these Moves and these Kinects and stuff, is watching your friends look like idiots.
Yeah, maybe it's going to be like the Segway. People will redesign houses around.
Yeah, I don't know. That's basically, unless I decide to change around my setup and put my good TV in the living room and all my gaming stuff in the living room, which I doubt that'll happen, basically I won't be getting the Kinect or the Move. So,
you can put it outside.
Yeah. Well, I'm not a big motion gaming person anyway, and that's one of the many topics we've covered in the past. So, I guess if anybody wants to know why I'm not, they can go back and listen to past shows. I'm not sure a specific show to point them to, but I'm sure I could find one if asked.
Right. Or we can see the video of you checking it out.
Yeah, which I realized I'd forgotten to... I think I tweeted about that, but I never did post that on the site or anything. Hopefully, if I remember, I will get that link up maybe in the next day or so. I've got the card with everything sitting right here. I just have to do it. And hopefully I'll get my Duracell MyGrid review up this week as well. But anyway, go ahead and jump right into the stories. Of course, you can follow along at globalgeeknews.com. And we will start with... The U.S. intelligence agencies are angry at France over their Hadapi 3 strikes law because they're worried it's going to drive encryption usage. This kind of coming off of our story last week about the FBI wanting to have backdoors into all encryption.
Yeah, this one, I was reading the story, and it seemed kind of curious for a couple of reasons. One, why is the U.S. trying to tell France how to govern their people is for one, and two, why is it that the encryption is something that they think is new? Don't they know that the stronger laws will do that anyway? So I'm curious that since that's something that's been pushed by the RIAA, it seems that this might be an official stance on how the NSA feels about the laws that the RIAA were trying to push onto us. So it gives an opinion about how another country should govern themselves, but it also gives an opinion on how they feel that we should be governed here, as in they're against the laws in our country as well.
Yeah, apparently, I'm guessing it's just the whole we're the United States, so you have to do what we say kind of a thing as far as why they seem to think they should do what we want them to. But I've got a feeling in kind of what you alluded to there, and something we'll talk about here kind of in a, what is it, two stories from now about ACTA, that being that I have this feeling that with the whole ACTA negotiations and everything now done and many of the stuff thrown out, like we're going to talk about here in a minute, I've got a feeling that maybe it's because of this particular case where the FBI, the CIA, whoever doesn't want all this stuff being encrypted, that's why some of this tougher copyright legislation isn't going through.
Good point.
Because I think the FBI and other three-letter agencies have a little bit more pull with the senators and stuff than whatever the RIAA and MPAA has managed to purchase.
Yeah, and they probably have like a closer direct line to the president and the heads of various committees, too.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I'm kind of surprised by this whole story. It seems kind of a little on the strange side. I mean, why would, if we're talking about three strikes and copyright laws, the FBI shouldn't be really concerned about this. I mean, I know they tend to go after people that release movies before their release date. That's something that the FBI tends to deal with, as well as large piracy rings. But for this small-time stuff, they don't care about that, which is one of the reasons why I'm never the least bit concerned. But I don't see why they're getting all up in arms about this, because, I mean, if the French people are worried about getting found out about sending copyrighted material or whatever, they're going to encrypt their BitTorrent traffic. That's not to say that they're going to start encrypting their instant messages and everything else. That's just saying that they're going to try and encrypt like their BitTorrent traffic, or they're going to route it through a VPN or something like that, so that they don't have to worry about getting a strike on them or whatever. Yet they seem to act like this is going to make everybody wisen up and use encryption on absolutely everything.
Well, here's my guess. I mean, this is just a theory, but I'm guessing that encryption is still rare, generally speaking, outside of browser traffic. And I think that basically they're using it as one of the flags of a possible wrongdoing or possible threat. And with everyone moving into it because of the laws in France, that they can no longer use it as a flag, as in, hey, this is a potential problem, because the noise to the signal to noise ratio will be thrown way off. So you can't say, hey, that's a sophisticated user because they're using encryption for this. You can't say that anymore if everyone's using encryption. So I think that's probably part of the problem. But I think talking to another company, I mean another country, and telling them this is a little overstepping their bounds.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand if this was like Congress going to them and say, hey, don't do this. But just for like the FBI or whatever to go to them and say, hey, don't do this, that seems to be a little bit outside of their jurisdiction.
Yeah, and through like non-diplomatic channels too. So that's why it seems exceedingly weird.
Yeah, it's definitely kind of strange. But speaking of Hadapi, the French three strikes law, apparently there is a French ISP known as Free that is refusing to send out the strike notices to the users, which apparently means they don't get strikes.
Yeah. They can take our internet, but they can't take our freedom. Yeah. Nice loophole. I really like how they have read the law verbatim and said that, hey, it doesn't say that how we're supposed to handle the notices and give them to our users. So they're using this small loophole to not administer the warnings or the notices to their users.
Yeah, apparently the way it works is there has to be, before any paper mail can be sent, there has to be an email sent. Well, I guess there's nothing that specifically says the email must be sent by the ISP, so they're just not sending the email, which means the paper mail doesn't get sent, so people never get notified that they've received a strike.
Right, and without any notice, no legal action can be taken upon them. So one has to precede the other, and step one is kind of stuck in the queue.
Yeah, so there's a bunch of different people up in arms in this. Of course, the government or whatever is none too happy about it, but the only real recourse they have is to go back and fix the law. And of course, all the other ISPs aren't too happy about it because they're actually complying with the law because they don't want to have to worry about, what is that, 1,500 pound or euro fine per day per IP address or whatever.
Well, that's for turning over the information about what customer maps to what IP address.
Yeah. Well, they're worried about stuff like that, so they're complying with all this. So they're all upset because they think that Free has a competitive advantage against them now, because now they're going to get more customers because they're not handing out these notices that they're supposed to hand out.
Yeah, hell yeah. I know if I was a user, I was like, hey, these people are actually fighting for me. They're fighting against the system to make sure I'm protected. Yeah, I'm gonna move over to Free. I would, definitely.
Yeah, plus I just like the idea of having an ISP by the name of Free.
Yeah. I wonder how much they charge.
I don't know. I'm kind of curious about that myself. But, yeah, this is definitely kind of a funny little case. I'm kind of hoping that they actually make an impact with this, about maybe people wisening up and realizing how stupid this law is, or I'm kind of curious to see how long it takes them to try and change the law to make them comply or whatever.
Right, and it took them, a couple tries to even get it passed.
Yeah, I think it's like two or three real serious tries to finally get the three strikes stuff passed.
Exactly, so if they're going to try to amend it because of this one loophole that's found, it'd be interesting if they'll have the votes. I mean, because at this point, probably everyone on the internet in France is aware of the problem or the issue or the possible issue. So I wonder if this has been their own way of, probably not on purpose, but get some advertising about what's going down. Because I'm sure everyone, once the law passed, was given a notice saying, hey, here are the new rules and this is how it's going to work. And so when it goes back out for a vote, they might not have the votes to get it passed.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to watch. But speaking of anti-piracy stuff, back to the ACTA that we were talking about a little bit ago. Apparently the text of ACTA is more or less finalized. I do believe there are still some small wording differences, I guess, that they have to work out. But basically all of the super secret ACTA meetings are now over, and all the major points have been hammered out, and it's actually not as bad as it should have, as everybody was fearing.
Yeah, especially with file sharing, it's showing that there won't be any change to any laws, really. So a lot of the suggestions put in by the RIAA have been removed and have not been put into the final version.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised by the fact that basically all of their suggestions are taken out, and I haven't really read the final consolidated text, which is about 24 pages long, and it is at the bottom of this particular story link in the show notes. I'll probably go through and read it either tonight or tomorrow, but basically all the stuff, like three strikes and everything, is gone.
Yeah, and we were going back, and we were talking about the NSA and how they're curious about three strikes, which was a form of that was enacted and then removed. I wonder if they had their hand in the treaty and making sure that did not get into the final version.
Yeah, I've got a feeling that that's probably the case. But
yeah, national security trumps everything, especially now.
Yeah, pretty much. So, which is why I tend to be a little bit worried about the story we had last week about the FBI wanting no encryption on anything.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm kind of surprised. Even camcording in movie theaters is not going to be criminalized. Basically, from my understanding is, now the document just says that, well, all the governments should do what they can to try and fight piracy. What they do, how they do it, is all up to them.
Yep.
So in other words, we've had months and months of all these secret meetings to basically say, oh, hey, governments, you have the same powers you've always had. Do something with it.
Yeah, do your best. Well,